శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు దయా కరో మోరె, శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య దయాలు జగత్ సంసారి జగత్ సంసారి పతిత పావన హేతు మోసమ పతిత ప్రభు నా పైవే మోసమ పతిత ప్రభు నా పైవే ప్రభు నిత్యానంద ప్రేమానంద ప్రేమానంద పవన కనా కరో ఆమె వడో దుఃఖీ పవన కనా కరో ఆమె వడో దుఃఖీ దయా కరా సీతాపతి అద్వైత గోసాయ దయా కర సీతాపతి అద్వైత గోసాయ పావలే పాయ చైతన్య అనాతన రూపరగునాథ
అనాతన రూపరగునాథ
భటయుగ శ్రీనివా ప్రభుల ప్రనాథ
యుగ శ్రీనివా ప్రభుల
ప్రయాచార్య ప్రభు శ్రీనివా
కర ప్రియాచార్య ప్రభు
శ్రీనివాసంగ సంగ మగా కృష్ణ చైతన్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్త వృంద
కహు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివసాది गौरभक्त जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय जय द्वैत चन्द जय गौरभक्त वृन्द जय गौरभक्त जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय द्वैत चन्द जय गौरभक्त वृन्द जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय द्वैत चन्द जय गौरभक्त जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय द्वैत चन्द जय गौरभक्त वृन्द जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय द्वैत चन्द जय गौरभक्त हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्याय गौर हरि बोल
పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి తాయ గౌరవమనంది శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి ఓం అజ్ఞాన తమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయా చక్షుమన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః నమావోం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ వి వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ ఫర్ ద ఫ్రైడే క్వశ్చన్ ఆన్సర్ సెషన్ టుడే You can read the question, Prabhu.
Krishna Das Prabhu from Bangalore is asking, you said that Krishna doesn't wear tulsi, but how to understand that some places they too paint tulsi or Krishna's forehead, example Radha Madhav. In some sampradayas like Madhava, they don't wear tulsi, but yet they follow Dvaita Vada and not impersonalism. How to understand this? Also, I earlier asked about significance of
Tilaka. One by one we will go. The first one about Krishna generally doesn't wear tulsi, only the Tilaka. Why? Because he is wearing the lotus feet of his devotees. And devotees wear the lotus feet of Krishna with the tulsi. So, in some places it is explained that is, this is Krishna's lotus feet and this is Radharani's, lotus feet, like that it is said in some places. This is a general rule, I have read about it, that Krishna wears only the lotus feet of the devotees. So, and the next point, second thing.
In some sampradayas like Madhva, they don't wear tulsi, but yet they follow Dvaita Vad and not impersonalism. How to understand
actually,
this?
Actually, amongst the Vaishnava sampradayas also, you may find the difference in tilaks also. Some of them wear three, some of them wear two. And in that also different shapes, sizes, colors, and all you find. Like Sri Vaishnavas wear three. But it is called Urdhva Pundra. Urdhva Pundra means the tilak will be vertical. The Shaivites wear bhasma like this, flat. Indicating the burning away of Kama Krodha Lobha, three. Farther they wear, because their goal is to destroy the Kama Krodha Lobha. Whereas the Vaishnava Sampradaya, we were the lotus feet of the Lord vertically. So whether it is Sri Sampradaya or even Kumar Sampradaya or Gaudiya Sampradaya, all of them were Urdhva Puntra, that will be same. Similarly, for example, in our Sampradaya, it is prescribed that you should chant a fixed number of rounds every day, 16 rounds or something. So now in Sri Sampradaya, they may not exactly tell you the number to chant. But they give a Mula Mantra. They say, we keep chanting, keep remembering the Lord, keep singing His holy names. They may say like that. They may not prescribe a fixed number like we have fixed. So there is more emphasis on deity worship. Even in Madhva Sampradaya also, there is a lot of emphasis on worship of the deities in Ashtamatas. But one amazing similarity you will see in all the four Sampradayas. All the Sampradayas accept three things. Bhagavan, Bhakta and Bhakti. These three are eternal. Bhagavan is eternal, Bhakti for the Lord is eternal, and Bhakta is eternal, and Vaikuntha is eternal. All of them agree. Therefore, for example, if I want to teach you mathematics, I say 2 mangoes plus 3 mangoes is 5 mangoes. One Sampradaya says, another Sampradaya says 2 apples plus 3 apples is 5 apples. So the mathematics is same, only the fruit may be different. The Sri Sampradaya may be emphasizing on Dasatva. Prapatti, surrender to the Lord, more, in the mood of a servant. And in our Brahma Madha Gaudiya Sampradaya, the Madhuri Rasa is emphasized, the 5 Rasas are emphasized. So, just like the different fruits have different juices of different tastes, there may be external differences, but if you go deeper, you will find they all agree that Lord is supreme and the Jiva is subordinate and we should lovingly serve Him, worship Him. Krishna is our eternal master. He is the supreme. There is no one equal to Him or greater than Him. Similarly, the Jiva is a very tiny part and parcel of the Lord. And the material world is a place of correction for us to purify our heart by engaging in devotional service. And then Vaikuntha, we eternally engage. These are all acceptable. So somebody wears Tulasi Kanti. Even in our parampara, so we wear it. In some sampradaya, this may not be emphasized. But watering Tulasi, all Sampradayas emphasize that as an important activity. Go ahead.
Also, I earlier asked about significance of Tilaka and heard the lecture you told me to refer, but didn't get full details. Do women wear Tilak marks on all 12 parts as well? I remember you had mentioned in one class, no. And could you please give some scriptural reference for where it is mentioned regarding wearing Tilaka?
In Skanda Purana it is mentioned, I will show you. See, this is called Manual of Vaishnava Etiquette. Where have we attached this one? In which one? Wednesday lectures? Wednesday Zoom lecture. Where do they get it in our this thing? Okay, you can go to dys.radhishyamdas.com. There this attachment you will find. DYS. DYS stands for Discover Yourself. dys.radhishyamdas.com. If you go there, you get this booklet there. Here, if you see here, in this booklet, there is a talk about Tilaka. See, there is Tilaka in page number 7, if you see. There is information given here. Okay. And in appendix 3, in page number 34, you get detailed. I'll take it there. So this is, and here is about Tilak, you find here. It begins from here. So you can go through, this is page number 34. So from here you can go through it. See here, in Bhagavatam 4.12.28 says, in Kali Yuga one can hardly acquire gold or jeweled ornaments. But the 12 Tilaka marks on the body are sufficient as auspicious decorations to purify the body, he says. And then where all it is mentioned, you ask the question. You can see here. You are showing it? Yeah. The Padma Purana and Yajurveda state the Urdhva Pundra symbolizes the lotus feet of Vishnu, the 12 parts of the body on which we place this Urdhapundra marks are not arbitrary points. They are sensitive points that easily absorb the spiritual energy generated by reciting the names of Vishnu and mentally placing the Lord in those positions. So, Keshavaya Namaha, Narayanaya Namaha, Madhavaya Namaha, Govindaya Namaha, Vishnavaya Namaha, Madhusudanaya Namaha, Trivikramaya Namaha, Vamanaya Namaha, like that we put 12 places. Sridharaya Namaha, Rishikeshaya Namaha, Padmanabhaya Namaha, Damodaraya Namaha. So, Brahmanda Purana also says, so when you apply this tilak, what happens? Two things you are doing. You are putting the tilak and you are uttering the mantra. So, immediately the mantra is absorbed by the spiritual points and the tilaka acts as a purification and protection facility. It purifies you because when you wear the tilak and you go to the temple, bow down to Lord and do devotional activities, it aids you in your purification of the heart. And protection means, like when evil forces are coming around you, then this tilak will act as a protection, just like bulletproof jeep, you know, bullets cannot enter inside. Like that, because Yamadutas were told by Yamaraj that if you see some devotees with tilak, don't go near them. Isn't it? He says, Te yamam pashabhutashta tad bhatan, swapnepi pashyanti hi chena nishkrita. He said, don't even appear in their swapnam. He's saying. Yeah. So, Brahmanda Purana also states, who applies tilaka with great care by looking in the mirror or looking at his reflection in water, goes to Lord Supreme abode. Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami also talks about it. And then you can see all these things. And then here you find, yeah, the mantras are given here. See, those are the 12 places that we should apply to that. And then here details are given. The forehead, Om Keshavaya Namaha, then Narayanaya Namaha, then Madhavaya Namaha, Govindaya Namaha, and here Vishnavaya Namaha, Vasana Namaha, Trivikramaya Namaha, Vamanaya Namaha, Sridharaya Namaha, Rishikesha Namaha, Padmanabhaya Namaha, Damodaraya Namaha, like that. Okay. So the Shika area is not marked with tilaka, rather after washing the right hand. Okay. So this is about tilaka. With respect to women wearing in 12 places, I asked one of the congregation, Grihastha counselors. So he was telling that they wear only in the forehead, he was telling. And I don't have a reference for that. I will request him to search for a reference and provide us details. Okay, let's go to the next question. Yeah.
Krishna Das Prabhu is asking, in the purport of C.C. Madhya 6.175, it is mentioned the holy name of the Lord can be chanted by those who have fully satisfied their material desires or who are fully situated on a transcendental platform and devoid of material desire. Could you please elaborate on the first part?
Yeah. So, for example, if my material desires are not nullified, anya bilashita shunyam, like that the Shuddha Bhakti statement, the Paribhasha Sutra says that. If my desires are not cleaned, if my heart is not cleaned, then chanting is very difficult for us. When we take the bead bag, as soon as we sit to chant, immediately mind goes on a toss. It thinks about the past, worries. The mind also, laments about the past, worries about the future. And it is not able to peacefully, stably hear the holy name. It's like a monkey. That's what he is saying. If material desires are still lingering in our mind, we are unable to chant well. So, then what to do with the material desires? Should we express them? Or should we suppress them? You can see one of our sessions in Behavioral Science for Youth. In that playlist, if you go, there is one topic I had spoken on called desires, express or suppress. So, if we express all the desires in our mind freely, then we have to live like animals only. Because if one doesn't have any self-control, then one will do all kinds of nonsense, then one will be driven to insanity. And if we suppress the desires, then they will keep on pushing, they will be pushing. So, the solution is we have to clean up the desires. How do we clean? So, the answer is by chanting. Now, but chanting here it says that unless you have satisfied the material desires, you cannot chant properly. Then what to do? So that question is answered very nicely, that we have to develop affection for a superior who orders you that you should only live a Krishna conscious lifestyle where your desires should be regulated. So there are three platforms: unregulated, unregulated, transcended. Three levels. Unregulated means like animals. Like if you see pigs, they can, you know, have sex with anybody. They can eat all kinds of dirty things. I mean, the pigs actually, they don't see who's sister, mother, daughter, they don't see, Prabhupada says in one of his lectures. They don't have any culture at all. Similarly, they eat all kinds of dirty things. So human beings cannot be like that. Human beings should be cultured. So in eating, sleeping, mating, defending, we have a culture. One is allowed to marry and live with a wife and to get children. Similarly, one is allowed to eat prasadam. One is allowed to sleep 6 hours. So this is a regulation, and we follow the four regulative principles. And then chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds. So if you keep doing it, then gradually the material desires will be reduced over a period of time. Why? Proportionately you are developing respect for Krishna, affection for Krishna, affection for devotees. And your hands, legs, senses and all are getting engaged in devotional service. So then there is no time for Maya, no room for Maya. In this way, gradually the desires are nullified. And the practical example is Dhruva Maharaj. He had material desire. Did he not chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya? He went with the desire. He still chanted. Why? Because he loved Narada Muni. He put faith in Narada Muni's words and he chanted. And then was his material desire satisfied? Before material desire can be satisfied, material desire got nullified. He told the Lord, Kasam Vichinman Apidivyaratnam Swamin Kritartho Asmi Varam Nayache. I don't want Dhruvaloka now because my heart is cleaned up now. And I am very happy simply being your devotee, and I got you, my Lord, he said. So in the same manner, we can chant even when there are material desires, but it is a struggle. Therefore, one of the ways to make that struggle easier is to develop respect and affection for a Vaishnava devotee who has given you the mala, who is teaching you chanting, and develop great respect for Srila Prabhupada. And then in the bhakti path, if we take it seriously, then the regulated, irregulated means like animals, they have no self-control. And regulated means, then as humans you follow the four regs and everything, and you follow. And then thirdly, your mind and heart are cleaned up now, then you can become transcendental, as he says. At that time you can joyfully chant, blissfully chant. Next.
Ajay Gupta Prabhu is asking, Prabhuji, we know that ISKCON was founded on 14th July 1966 in USA, starting as a world headquarter. Then how is it we say that ISKCON is Indian organization with headquarter at Mayapur? Was the headquarter changed in due course of time?
Actually, Prabhupada was planning to make Los Angeles as the headquarters of ISKCON at that time. There was a plan because that was the biggest project and a very thriving, flourishing project in America. At that time, Prabhupada said in 1970s that Indians are not taking interest. They are Indians are interested in two things. One is they are interested in being with the family members, you know, spending time watching movies and doing household activities. Another thing is working hard for making money, lot of money, so that they can. And Prabhupada said they are very responsible, which is very nice towards the family members. But then in the course of that responsibility, they are only remaining pious and they are not taking the spiritual life, Krishna consciousness very seriously. So in the 1970s, so at that time Prabhupada had a thought of making Los Angeles the headquarters. At the same time, he was also trying for a property, land in Mayapur, which is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, most holy place. If you go to Mayapur Dham, which is about 3 hours from Calcutta, Prabhupada had thought that he could make any one place headquarters where the whole world can come. So in Calcutta, there is one Victoria Memorial building. Prabhupada said, if they gift that building to us, we are ready to make it headquarters of the whole world. Of course, that is a British building used by the government. They didn't give to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was looking for a place. And then he found, at last he could get a big amount of land in the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, which is a very holy place. And Prabhupada thought, let us make this the headquarters instead of making Los Angeles and other places. Because even the Western devotees would like to come to the holy dham of Vrindavan and Mayapur. Vrindavan is the appearance place of Lord Krishna and Mayapur is the appearance place of Lord Chaitanya. So it will be very nice to have, and Prabhupada said in India, Bombay is the economic capital and Delhi is the political capital and Mayapur is spiritual capital, and we should have three temples in all these three places. So near Delhi, he made a very beautiful Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. From there, devotees can easily go to Delhi and cultivate people. And similarly, in Mayapur, there's a big temple coming up in 2022. A huge temple is going to be opened, where the temple hall is 1 acre. You can have 25,000 devotees can dance and chant in the temple hall. It's called as Adbhuta Mandir. And there is a prediction in the scriptures. Lord Nityananda says that very soon a very big Adbhuta Mandir will be built in future. And there is a prediction in Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. So, and in Bombay, it's our economic capital of ISKCON. ISKCON also, Bombay is the economic capital of India, but ISKCON Bombay is our main financial headquarters for us. Why? Because all the Indian temples submit their balance sheet and everything to the Bombay temple. And worldwide, all the reporting about the activities of all the temples and the GBC meetings, Governing Body Commissioners meetings, that happens in Mayapur Dham. So we call it headquarters. That's the main reason we're calling it headquarters. Yeah. Go ahead.
Dharanjay Prabhu is asking, Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. For your lecture, my query is, first, Brahma born in navel of Vishnu without help of energy, Lakshmi. But without using some energy, how can one create some work? Because in Parinamvad, transformation of energy.
Actually, Parinamvad means what? The Parinamvad is, we are not talking about Lord transforming. Lord doesn't transform at all. He remains the same. For example, if you take a paper and you cut it into pieces and you scatter it, then the original paper is finished. It's all scattered, isn't it? That is the situation with the material things in this world. Because the paper is the whole. And then when you make it into parts, the paper cannot remain. Correct, no? So therefore, the Mayavadis came up with the Vivartavad and all that. Because absolute truth, if it has parts and all, then it will become exhausted. Like that they were thinking. So if you remember in the class, I gave you three examples based on Lord Chaitanya's discussion. Lord Chaitanya said, the sun is emanating light for millions of years. Ashesha Teja, the word is used. What is that shloka? It says, Yat Chakshuresha Savita Sakala Grahanam Raja Samasta Sura Murti Rashesha Tejaha Yasya Agnaya Brahmati Sambrita Kala Chakro Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So just like the sun is called Ashesha Teja, it keeps on giving out light, but it never gets exhausted. Inexhaustible light is coming out of the sun. Correct, no? Similarly, another example is given by Mahaprabhu. He says, like a parasamani, any object you go and touch to it, it makes it into gold. Hundreds of objects. Anything you touch it, it becomes gold. So that means from parasamani, gold is going on, coming out, but it never gets exhausted. A third example is given of a tree. If you see a tree standing in one place, it gives flowers, it gives fruits, it gives leaves, and all these things are growing in the tree and falling off the tree, and many things are coming out of the tree, but the tree remains in one place only. It's like the absolute truth. Vriksha iva stabdo divitishtatyekas tenedam purnam purushena sarvam. Like that Shuddhi mantra say, yasmat param na paramastikinchit yasmat nani yojo yostikinchit vriksha iva stabdo divitishtatyekas tenedam purnam purushena sarvam. And then it says, Tam Yishwaranam Paramam Maheshwaram Tam Daivatanam Paramam Chadaivatam Patimpatinam Paramam Parastat Vidamadevam Bhuvaneshwamidhyam. So this verse says, he is the master of all masters. Patimpatinam, he is the supreme devata from whom everybody else comes. But he is never exhausted. Krishna says that Aham Adirhi Devanam. For example, you know the Shruti Mantra also, Upanishad Mantra. Om Purnamada Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya Purnamadaya, Purnameva Vashishyate. So this verse says that Lord is Purnam and His manifestations are also complete. He has made perfect and complete units. And many, many such units are coming from the Lord. But the Lord is what? After so much comes out, He remains the same. He doesn't get transformed. So we should know this point, which is very important, that Lord is eternally spiritual. And these energies, how they are existing, example was given in the purport. Like the parrot, for example, enters a tree, the parrot has its identity separate from the tree. Similarly, all the energies connect with the Lord and they draw support from the Lord. But they always act as part and parcels of the Lord. So, that nothing happens to tree when the parrot comes out and flies. Similarly, when the energies undergo transformation, the absolute truth doesn't undergo transformation. That's the main philosophy of the Parinamavada. Parinamavada means Lord remains same, but His energies get transformed. For example, you will see that like when the sun, from the sun comes sunlight. So that is solar energy, correct, no? Now that solar energy, you put a plate and receive it and you can convert it into electrical energy. But the sun remains as it is. Just because you are converting solar energy into electrical energy, sun doesn't cry, hey, you have changed my energy. No, He remains as it is. Correct, no? Okay, next
question. What is Maya Vishnu? In Brahma Vimuman Leela, Srila Prabhupada in purport say, all are original Vishnu, not Maya Vishnu.
Actually, Vishnu's body can never be Maya. Actually, sometimes Mayavadi is called Vishnu's body as Maya. That is their misconception. They think Vishnu or Krishna also take a body like you and I take and flesh and bones like that. They are thinking. That is their... Krishna actually chastises those who think like that. Avajanantimam mudha manushim tanumashritam parambhavam ajananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. Arjuna 9.11 Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, my body is Maheshwaram. It's a pure and spiritual body. And Krishna says that, but foolish people think that manushim tanumashritam. I have accepted this, body like the conditioned souls accept a body made of flesh and bones. Krishna says, my body is not like that. My body is completely spiritual. It's transcendental, which means made up of spiritual substance. It can never be cut. It never gets old. It never gets diseases. It never dies. I come in myself, same Satchidananda form. Krishna says that. So they think it's Maya Vishnu, but Vishnu's body is never Maya. It's always pure and spiritual. Actually, this material world is called Vishnu Maya. I will show you one shloka which says that. I explain to you what is the Vishnu Maya. Vishnu Maya means Durga only. I'll just show you. Okay. You can see in this verse here. Yeah, this is the verse. Grihitva ap indriyairartan jona dveshti na hrishyati Vishnor maya midam pashyan savai bhagavatottamah. Here you see the word, meaning of the word Vishnor maya. Illusory potency. Here is the word. You see this. Illusory potency means maya shakti. This maya shakti is called Vishnu maya. You see here. Even while engaging his senses in contact with their objects, one who sees this whole world as energy of Lord Vishnu is neither repelled nor elated. He is indeed the greatest amongst devotees. So this energy of Lord Vishnu is Maya Shakti. It's called Vishnu Maya, we call it. But we don't call body of Vishnu as Maya Vishnu. That is wrong. But Vishnu Maya, when you say, that is Durga Devi. Yeah. Next question.
In example, say Bhagwan is like both heat and light. And in water pot, if see reflection, then like Paramatma. But my question is, in water pot reflection has no heat and light. How can I understand?
Yeah. So now the example is given why the sun is at the top of the sky and the sun reflects in say 100 pots. So you see similar type of sun in the pots. Just as sun is in each of the pot, similarly the Lord is in each of the hearts. Like that it is said. But when it comes to the material objects, what you said is true. Because although the sun is in the sky, the power of the sun, energy of the sun cannot be inside the pot. It's not possible. Whereas when it comes to the super soul, he is absolute. One example I'll give you. For example, say you are grandfather. You know your grandfather personally. Now there is grandfather's photo. Is it the same? Is it the same? Photo, you may say that, yes, this is my grandfather, you may say. But the grandfather cannot connect with you, relate with you through his photo. If he is gone, for example. If somebody's grandfather is passed away, when you see the photo, you may feel some feelings for him, but he cannot reciprocate. But that's not the case with Krishna. Even you will find the deity forms of Krishna all over the world is in many temples. Sakshi Gopal we studied, how he reciprocated. You studied about Gopal who reciprocated with Madhavendra Puri. Then you hear about Kanakadas with whom Udupi Krishna reciprocated, isn't it? And you remember the Gopinath who is called Kshir Chor Gopinath, reciprocated with Madhavendra Puri. That means the Lord's deity forms, you know, they can actually reciprocate with pure devotees. They have reciprocated several occasions. Raghunandan, today is Raghunandan Thakur, isn't it? Yes, I think Raghunandan Thakur. With him, the Lord reciprocated by accepting the laddu that he gave him. So, just as the deity form of the Lord is capable of reciprocating, exactly like the Lord, similarly, when the Paramatma expands in each heart of every living being, he can reciprocate, he can act in the full capacity of the original Paramatma. On the other hand, you have many statues of so many politicians and all in the street. They cannot reciprocate. In the same manner, the sun, you know, manifesting in the pots, it cannot manifest its full heat and light. It's not possible because it's a material object. But if you take the Lord, who's a spiritual object, he is able to do that. Because he's absolute, he's not relative. Being absolute, he is capable. For example, Tata has company where everywhere is written Tata. In the table also Tata, Sumo also Tata, fan also Tata is written. So now Tata is expanding all the items in his company by his own monetary power. But Tata is not physically present there in each of it. And that's not the case with Krishna. He can expand, you know, the material energy, and in each of the hearts of the living entities he can situate himself as Paramatma, who is fully alive, fully conscious. That is the difference between God and the Jiva. But we give the example of the sun because that is easily understandable. So material examples will have a limitation, but Lord has no limitation. Next one.
Mahalakshmi Mataji is asking question. One lecture transcript of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, it is mentioned that every Kali Yuga, Shirodakshaya Vishnu will come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in one day of Brahma, in one Kali Yuga, Krishna will come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Can you please explain this?
Actually, when in the 28th millennium of the 8th Manu, totally there are 14 Manus. Whenever Krishna appears, 28th millennium of the 8th Manu, now it's a Vaivashata Manus period going on. When Krishna appears, the subsequent Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation in Kali Yuga will be Krishna himself. At other times, in other days of Brahma also, for that you have to know how much is one day of Brahma. One day of Brahma is 4,32,000 years, which is Kali Yuga, multiplied by 2, and then Treta Yuga is 3 times, Satya Yuga is 4 times, 4 plus 3 plus 2 plus 1 is 10, so it becomes 43,20,000 years is 1 Chatur Yuga. Like that you take 1,000 Chatur Yugas, that constitutes 1 Brahma's day. Sahasra yuga paryantam aharyat brahmano viduhu ratrim yuga sahasrantam teho ratra vidojanaha bhutagramase evayam bhutva bhutva praliyate. Actually, he says, so he's saying that sahasra yuga paryantam aha means day. Aharyat brahmano viduhu. One day of Brahma is 1,000 chaturyugas. So when does Krishna come generally? In this 1,000 Chaturyugas, it's one day of Brahma. In that, he comes in the 28th millennium of the 8th Manu. Totally 14 Manus are there. Each Manus live for 71 millenniums. So, if you go to the first Manu, 71. Second Manus will be 142 years. Third Manu, So 71 more. If you go like that, 8th manas period, Krishna appears. At all other times of the Chaturyuga, then what happens? He is saying, at that time the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as Gauranarayan. He is, that's what you have asked. He comes as Gauranarayan. That's a Narayan's avatar. He comes in this world. And then he also does his Yuga Dharma, propagating the holy name. But now, recently, 500 years ago, the one who came is Krishna himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah. Yeah, next one.
Ajay Gupta Prabhu is asking, Prabhuji, in Bhagavad Gita text 9.4, it is mentioned, all beings are in me, but I am not in them. But as stated in earlier shlokas, Lord is present as Super Soul, Paramatma, in our heart. So can you explain the contradiction?
Yeah, that is a very important verse to be understood. What is the meaning of this? The verses number 4 and 5. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvabastitah. I'll tell you the meaning of this. He's saying, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina. Avyakta means unmanifest. That means, for example, now my face is now avyaktana. Because I have closed my face now. Now murtina means I have a form, but avyaktana. I have unmanifested. But you can see it. When I unfold my hands, you can see it. So, maya tadamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. I have spread it, I have expanded everywhere, but I am not manifest easily to everybody. Matstani sarva bhutani. And I am seated in the heart of every living being also. Nata aham tesho avasthitaha. What is the meaning of that? But I am not expanded the way that the jivas are all living in this world. One example I will tell you for this. Say, if you put a thief inside a room and you lock him up, can he come out? That means he is trapped in the jail. On the other hand, Krishna says, when I enter this material world, I can come out at will. I enter at will and I come out at will. Just like you take this one, this Kantimala, here the monies are sustained by the nylon. So the nylon is not trapped inside the monies, but it is sustaining the monies. Similarly, Lord says that in the material world, I sustain the whole material creation by entering into it through my energy, and anytime I can come out freely. And I am not bound the way the jivas are bound. Therefore, he says, Nachaham tesha avasthitaha. Like all of us, we depend on the rain, we depend on the sun, the moon, the vegetables, eatables and all that. Is Krishna depending on all of them? No. He says, material nature in this world is there for jivas to depend on. But Krishna doesn't depend on her. Rather, material nature depends on him. Maya adhyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam hetu nanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. The material nature is female. It is dependent on the Supreme Purusha, male, Krishna. So by his glance, she is producing all the crops and rains and grains and everything. But he doesn't depend on her like we depend on the nature. That's the meaning. And then the next verse he says, Nata mastani bhutani paschameyo gamaishwaram bhuta bhuta brinna jabhutasto mamatma bhuta bhavanaha. Next verse he says, although I am telling you that they are all dependent on me, all the jivas and material nature, that doesn't pose any burden on my shoulder. Not that I am sustaining the jivas and material energy is on my back and the big responsibility is becoming a problem for me. No, it's not like that. Just like our Prime Minister of India, he is sustaining all the jails in India. Does that pose any problem to him? Because he is not directly have to take care of the jails. His energies are there. So he is saying that I sustain the material energy with my energies. I am not overburdened. Just like you see the Atlas carrying the earth on his shoulder and he's handing over to Hercules. So his Lord is not finding great difficulty holding all the planets. Because they don't pose any challenge for him. That's the meaning of the next verse. Nathamatstani bhutani paschame yogamaishwaram. See what I have done in this world. I have given independence to jivas to wander with their own independence to do whatever nonsense they want to do by moving here and there in this world. I am not interfering with them. I have left them. Generally, for example, if you create something, you become attached to it. Like father and mother create a baby, and they become attached to the baby. He is my son, he should listen whatever I say. Every mother, father will feel like that. After the boy becomes 14, 15, he will not listen. And they get extremely frustrated. But Lord Krishna says that, I have sent all my living entities, and I have allowed them to wander here and there. Whenever they wish to come back to me, I will take them. But if they want to wander, I am detached from them. That's what he says in 9.4 and 5. So they are dependent on me. I am providing them food, clothing, shelter. And if they want knowledge of Vedas, I provide it. If they don't want knowledge of Vedas, they simply want to eat and sleep and just wander life after life, they can do it also. So, although material world is my creation, I am not attached to it. Rather, material creation is attached to me, like that he says. So, it's a very beautiful verse, 9.4 and 5. Thank you for the question. Yeah.
Srinivas Prabhu is asking.
See, I have already answered this question, I think. This question I have answered here, if you see. I have written the answer here. Okay, huh? Here I put the answer. And then there is one more question he has asked. Oh, sorry. This question, next question. Chitranjan Baralya, yes.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I am now working as a social worker in an NGO focusing on dull student learning deficit, also taking another charge to teach 10 students. As my character, I don't refuse anybody for any work. And my senior leaders are taking opportunity of my silence. Whether it's not my work, but I have to do it. For which I can spend much time in self-realization.
I can't spend
much time in self-realization as reading Bhagavad Gita, taking online classes of yours. But now I think it's enough. Please tell me, what will I do?
You see, you are doing service as an NGO service you are doing to students. And you are teaching for the 10th standard, okay. So if you don't refuse any work, if you take all the work, then you will find shortage of time. If you want to do everything. How will we all will be able to do everything? You have to decide for how much work, which work I want to allot how much time. And then your boss is also asking you to do the work. For example, you are working in a job, you have to please your boss by completing the work, then only you will get salary. Now you want to work for an NGO. There are many NGOs doing many things. Some are doing some social welfare work. Say you also want to give some free tuition for some poor children. Okay. You also want to study Bhagavad Gita and spend time on self-realization. So, but this activity is different from mundane activities. For example, the teaching that you are doing for the 10th standard children, this type of thing many people are doing nowadays. Because it's very appealing to people very easily. Similarly, poor people, to give them food, clothing, shelter, many people are doing. Many organizations are doing that. But how many organizations are teaching people how to go back home, back to Godhead? Most people are teaching you how to be happy inside the jail. Imagine you go inside the jail and tell people, I'll give you mosquito net so you'll not have any problem. I'll give you some food, nice food to eat. Don't worry, no problem. I'll give you hot water to bathe. But is that better? Or tell the thief that, you know, I will teach you how to be a perfect gentleman and you can come out of the jail. I will prepare you for that. Which is better? Because once you help him come out of the jail forever, he's always happy. So what you are learning in these classes helps you to get out of the jail of material world, to go back to Godhead. Plus, along with you, you can also take some more people with you. So what I generally train our students in, two things only. Focus on your spiritual life, focus on your academics, or your profession, job. These two should be your focus before marriage. And after marriage, naturally three duties come. Your family life, you know, your professional life, and devotional life. So you can go to the behavioral science for youth. In that playlist, you will find, I have written something about balancing extremes, I think. One topic is called balancing extremes, you can go through that. And then attitude towards profession. You can go through these two things, and that will give you a lot of idea on how to balance your life. And in case you wish to do NGO activity additionally, You can do it sparingly, but if you say that I want to do NGO activity more, I want to do spiritual life more, I don't want to do profession, then how will you get the salary? So one has to know what is priority.
Srinivas Prabhu is asking, can a devotee read Puranas like Garud Puran, Padma Puran, while parents are alive? Because there is lot of superstition and confusion from our grandparents, parents, that this scripture should not be read.
I think I wrote this also, okay, it's not written, I wrote the mail for this, okay. Anyway, I told him that, okay, you study Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavata Puran you study. Garuda Puran is generally read when a person has died in the home. Because it talks a lot about the 28 type of hells and how the jiva suffers. Lord Vishnu is talking to Garuda about it. So you can read it after somebody passes. Now you focus on Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah.
Ajay Gupta Prabhu is asking, we are aware that we have free will. Then we also know that intelligence is also given by the Lord. Then why does Lord doesn't give the intelligence to free will to go in the right direction at the right time?
You read Bhagavad Gita 15.15. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo vedanta kritveda videva chaham. Lord is saying, my dear Arjun, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto, standing in the heart of everybody as a super soul, Paramatma. Matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. He is saying, from me comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. He says, now if somebody wants forgetfulness, Lord will give him forgetfulness. So he will misuse his free will. Somebody wants to surrender to Krishna, he wants remembrance, Lord will give him remembrance. Somebody wants knowledge about Krishna, he will guide that person to the Guru and Shastras. So he will get knowledge. You actually get what you deserve and what you desire. Two D's. What you deserve and what you desire. Accordingly you get. For example, one living being is saying, I want to eat flesh and drink blood. Lord says, no, but why don't you eat vegetarian food offered to Krishna? Prasadam. No, I want to eat this. Then Lord says, okay. You want need the body of a tiger to eat flesh and drink blood. Okay, take it. Like that, Srila Prabhupada saw one boy from morning 6 or 7 o'clock till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He was playing with water, surfing. So Prabhupada was surprised. He told the devotees, look at this boy. 6 hours he is not getting out of the water. So he needs the body of a fish. Yeah. So material nature tells him that, okay, this is what you delight in. You are not delighting in Bhagavad Gita. Then take the body of a fish. So, in this way you find that we all are expressing our desire to the super soul and accordingly he will give us forgetfulness or remembrance. Like some people want a cheating guru. Some people want a genuine guru. Now, somebody asked Prabhupada, how can somebody want a cheating guru, Prabhupada? Then Prabhupada explained, they want guru to keep quiet and not disturb them throughout the year. And once in a year, they will call Guru to home and say, Guruji, relatives are coming. Just come with your long beard, long hair and just give Ashirvad to everybody. You can take 50,000 or 1 lakh rupees donation and then you be Ashirvad Baba for us. Don't tell us, follow 4 regulative principles, chant Hare Krishna every day. Don't tell anything. No instructions. Throughout the year, we will eat, drink and be merry. Once in a year, because we also want to say that socially, you know, we are also religious and we have a Guruji. We'll put your photo in our home. You just come and bless everybody and go. Prabhupada said, don't make a guru into dog. Prabhupada said. What is the meaning of that? Like a dog, you call, no, come here like that. Similarly, don't just call the guru, show bottle guru, we call it. Just show him to everybody and then send him back. That means those guys want to get cheated. So they got a cheating guru, they got. And in case you want to be enlightened by your guru, that guru will tell you things which you may not like to hear. He tells you, you have to give up meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, and try to chant Hare Krishna every day. And he is not going to compromise. When Prabhupada was in America, some people told him, Swamiji, 3 principles are all right. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, but don't talk about no illicit sex. because people will be opposing it. Prabhupada said, see, I have not come here to please the Americans. I have to tell you what Bhagavatam says. Dyutam, Panam, Striya, Suna, Yatra, Adharmas, Chaturvida. Prabhupada said that. So Prabhupada purely present at this moment. So you have your free will, I agree. But that free will be supplied with good intelligence by the Lord if you want good intelligence. You deserve for it and you desire it, Lord will give you. But if we want to do sense gratification, externally we say, I want to be devotee, but we are not strongly wanting it. We want more sense gratification. Then the Lord will give us forgetfulness.
Yeah. Rajesh Prabhu is asking, last week there was a question on eggplant, brinjal. You mentioned its tamasic nature. That reminds me, there are similar vegetables like radish, drumstick, which are not cooked on auspicious days in the houses of pious families due to its tamasic nature. Please, can you share how are they any different from onion garlic that we still offer them as a bhoga?
Onion garlic is extreme. Actually, they say when Mohini Murthy cut off the neck of our Rahu, you all may be aware that Rahu sat between Surya Dev and Somadev. He was sitting in between. And when she was serving everybody Amritam, he also got little Amritam put in the mouth. But Mohini Murthy immediately understood this fellow is Asura. Why should Asura be fed? Asura lives very long, he will create headache for everybody. So, she cut off his head. So, at that time what happened? He ate a little bit Amrit. So, because he cut the head from the neck, some Amritam fell down to the ground. And on the ground there was garlic. So, the garlic got the touch of Amritam. So, the garlic has some medicinal value because of that. But it is considered impure Amritam, which came from the neck of who? Rahu. Therefore, devotees don't eat it. Even though it may have some medicinal properties, garlic, we don't take it. And similarly, the onion is also extremely tamasic. It makes us dull, makes our intelligence dull. Now, with respect to others like radish and drumstick, even in ISKCON they are being cooked. Drumstick produces passion. It will increase passionate desires. And now radish and drumstick, if you know that these are not cooked, not good for us, those who are very serious devotees avoid such things also. They know it or they may take very little. But what is prescribed clearly in our parampara is that onion garlic should be avoided. That is very clearly prescribed.
Ranjan Prabhu is asking.
Like another example, Imli, for example, tamarind. That is also not good. Imli will, especially for males, the imli and the tamarind and mirchi. Mirchi is the chili. They will actually make the semen thin and go down. So they are not very favorable. Therefore, devotees won't take it. They have a substitute for tamarind. What is it? You know the mango, they dry it. Mango seeds. Amchul, they call it. Amchul, they call it. So, they have substitute for that. Similarly, even for coffee, tea and all, we have substitutes, which are herbal. That is all right, yeah. Next.
Ranjan Prabhu is asking, I am struggling to do my japa mainly due to my lustful tendencies. Please help.
Actually, the japa is certainly challenging for everybody in the beginning. We have to have patience. You can study a book called as Japa by His Grace Burijan Prabhu. Very nice book. It teaches about how to not get distracted during chanting and rise above. And also, if somebody is facing terrible lust problem, you can write a mail, voicemedia.pune@gmail.com. We have a couple of workshops, which we call as Dealing with Temptations. Another one is taking reverse gear from early stages of fall down. So these booklets have some valuable information. We can send you PDFs of that. And also, one has to avoid watching bad sites in internet. If you are not strictly practicing self-control, then our mind will go mad, insane practically. So we have to do self-control.
Rama Prabhu is asking, rituals are not essential for devotees according to Srila Prabhupada. What about Vastu Shastra? Should we believe in it? Please explain.
It's not a question of believing or not believing. Such things do exist, like Vastu, Vastu Purusha. These are all a part of the Shastra. And similarly, astrology also. It is a fact. Whether you believe or not, like, you know, somebody says, I don't believe that, you know, magnetic force exists, Gurutvakarshan or gravitational pull exists. You don't believe it, you throw a stone, it will come down. Then you will understand it. Similarly, these things are true. Astrology, Vastu Shastra. So what we may have to do, in case you are going to purchase a new property and you want to develop a house or something, it's always best to take some Vastu consultancy and where should be the fire kitchen, where should be the water body, the tank, in which direction the house should have a entrance door. These kind of things you can design if you are going to build a bungalow or something. But if something is already built before and you can't change much, then if you consult the Vastu, it may be too late. In case of, like one example I'll tell you. In one home, they had a lavatory, washroom, along with the bathroom. And they were facing terrible problems in the home. Terrible quarrel, this, that, everything. So when the Vastu people were called, Vastu person said, there is a big mistake you have done in this house. He said, what is it? The Brahmasthan. In the center of the house, there is a square called Brahmasthan. In that place, you have a lavatory, commode. You have. You should immediately remove it, he said. They have wrongly built this place. If you go to South India and Karnataka, in all the homes, the center portion of the house, there will always be a small altar for the Lord, for the puja room will be there in that place. So he said, this is a place for puja. How can he pass tool there? So immediately they changed it, and then the whole scenario changed. You know, people's behavior in the home towards each other, because they were not offending the Lord. So therefore, if you are going to construct, it is worthy to take advice.
Ajay Prabhu is asking, for a neophyte, can you explain in short how bhakti, Krishna consciousness, is a scientific process?
Yeah. Why we are calling it scientific process? In science, there is theory and there is practical. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, when you are all hearing lecture, there is theory. And what is practical laboratory work in bhakti? This is laboratory work. You have a bead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, when you hear lecture, it is philosophy. When you do practical, it is religion. So, religion and philosophy, both are there in Krishna consciousness. It's very scientific. Prabhupada said, only religion without philosophy. Prabhupada said, only religion without philosophy is what? Sentimental. He said, sentimentalism, he said. Because we say bhavuk, people blindly do some rituals. But if somebody is only discussing philosophy, many, many lectures he is hearing, he's armchair speculator, arguing, asking questions and all. But he doesn't chant Hare Krishna, he doesn't bow down to Lord, he doesn't sing kirtans, he doesn't follow the rules and regulations. Then such a person is speculator, armchair speculator, we call it. So armchair speculator is useless, and sentimental people with blind faith is useless. Real bhakti has a combination of both, religion and philosophy. Philosophy is theory and religion is practical. And that's the beauty of the bhakti process. And the bhakti is a very scientific process. Why? Just like when you are hungry, when you eat food. Bhakti pareshana bhavo viraktir anyatra chaishatrika eka kalaha prapadyamanasya yatashtatasya stushtik pushtik shudapayo nudhasam Bhagavatam verse. It says, when you are hungry, you put food in the tongue, your tongue finds it tasty. And then when the food goes in, you feel satisfaction. And then when you digest the food, you get strength. Similarly, bhakti is also very tasty eventually. Bhakti path, as you keep hearing lectures, you want to hear more. As you taste prasad, you want to taste more. As you take darshan of the deities, you want to take more darshan, tasting. And then satisfaction means the hankering will go away. Dhruva Maharaj had a metal hankering for kingdom that went away. And then strength means you get strength to preach the same to other people. In this way, bhakti is a very scientific process. Yeah. Next. And also bhakti has 9 steps. The bhakti has 9 steps. Like for example, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajanakriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Dati, Bhav, Prem. Like that. And there is a book called Madhurya Kadambini. If Rajya Gupta writes a mail to me, voicemedia.pune@gmail.com, I will send you an article called From Shraddha to Prem. All these 9 stages are scientifically explained. It's about 8-10 page article, I think. You can go through that. How scientific bhakti is. Where are you right now? Where you have to go ahead? Everything is explained there. Next. Okay, this also I have answered it. Here, if you see here, I have written here. Answer is there. I typed the answer there, okay? This also I answered. About the Setu Band also I have answered it. Okay, here Srinivas Basubramanian is asking a question. You read that.
What is the difference between Chaitanya's Achintya Abheda Bheda Tattva philosophy and other Vaishnavas Acharya's Vishishta Dvaita, Shuddha Dvaita, Dvaita, Dvaita philosophy of Sri Ramanuja Acharya, Madhvacharya and Vallabhacharya and Nimbarkacharya?
Yeah. So here is Achintya Bheda Bheda and other philosophies. In Chaitanya Bhagavata it is explained. If you see here, see Vishnu Swami propounded the philosophy of, if they are able to see it, yeah, Shuddha Advaita. Yeah. And then he says, abandoning all mundane thoughts such as Mayavad, eternally liberated persons eternally worship the Lord, who is the embodiment of eternal pastimes. He says that. So this is called Shuddha Advaita. That means, what is Shuddha Advaita? Lord is always the Swami, accompanied by his part and parcel. As soon as there is sun, there is also sun rays. As soon as the Lord is present, the jivas are also present. Mamaivam, you can read 15.7 Bhagavad Gita. Mamaivam sho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanah. Like the Lord says. Mama yeva amsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanah means eternally my parts are there with me. Just like sun can say, as soon as I existed, immediately my sun rays are also there. So, Shuddha Advaita says that the Lord is master and the jivas are his servant. They both are spiritual and eternally they are connected. So, that is called Shuddha Advaita. Why it is called Shuddha Advaita? The Advaita philosophy he considered as impure. Why? Because it says that the jiva is God. Jiva can never be God. And Shuddha Advaita means jiva is servant and Lord is supreme. And the jiva is inseparable from the God. As soon as sun is there, the sun rays are there. That is called Shuddha Advaita. But later on, what happened? Read it. This one.
But later on, following Shankaracharya's impersonal philosophy, the followers of Shaiva Vishishta Advaita, such as Srikanta and his disciple Appaya Dikshita, imagined that the ultimate goal of transient devotional service was impersonalism.
They started thinking, do bhakti now and ultimately merge in Brahman and become Supreme Brahman. That kind of thing they were preaching. Yeah.
Not being satisfied with such impersonalism, those who engage in the unalloyed worship of Krishna become freed from the concept of both Shaiva Vishishta Advaita and the incomplete mode of Vishishta Advaita, which is the goal of Shuddha Advaita philosophy, and engage in the worship of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adokshaja, Krishna. In Paragya Bhava, paramour love of conjugal mellow, the topmost of 5 rasas.
Okay. Read further.
The word Bhashyakara refers to Sri Ramanuja, who followed in the footsteps of Bodhayana and wrote the commentary Sri Bhashya based on the philosophy of Vishishta Advaita. In his writing, he has mentioned topics of various philosophies such as Buddhayana,
Bodhayana,
Tanaka,
Tanka, Dravida, Bopadeva, Kapardi and Bharati, all of them. In his writings, he also points out the difference between the opinion of personalities like Atreya Rishi, Ashmaratya, Audulomi. That means he has referred many authors while giving the Sri Bhashya. And then he is saying here, he is coming to this point here. Read this one.
The 4 different commentaries written by Vaishnavas of 4 authorized sampradayas, which are under the shelter of devotional service, have never condemned the philosophy of
Never condoned the philosophy of impersonalism. That means they never accepted the philosophy of impersonalism. Since the commentary of the Lingayat Sampradaya, which follows the philosophy of Buddhism, and the commentaries of Shankara Sampradaya, deny the eternality of worship. Therefore, in their opinion, the liberated state is impersonal and inactive. So, that is not acceptable by 4 Sampradayas. And then, after that, subsequently, he says, what happened? He is explaining. Then the Kevala Advaita came. Here, I'll just show you this. Those who consider Advaita Acharya Prabhu, an impersonalist, can never attain devotional service. In order to point out the discrepancies in the philosophy of Kevala Advaita. Kevala Advaita is what the impersonalists say, that Kevala Advaita means there is only one Supreme Brahman and Jivas are not existing as parts and parcels. Correct, no? That kind of, that's called Kevala Advaita. So, that is denied. Huh? The conclusion is imagined by foolish people who remain entangled with the first three of the five limbs of Nyaya are constructed on material foundation. And then Prabhupada explains further. So, if you go ahead, now there is Vishishtadvaita. What Vishishtadvaita says? Ramanuja said, in this body there is a soul now, for example. And this body depends on the soul for its existence. Now, when the soul goes away, this body is only fit for burning. Similarly, the jiva is totally dependent on the Paramatma or Parabrahman, Supreme Lord, Purushottama. Like that Ramanuja said. So that is actually called Vishishtadvaita. That means the jiva exists because the Lord exists. If the Lord and the jiva has no connection to the Lord, he cannot exist. That's called Vishishtadvaita. So these are all close to Achintya Bheda Bheda given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he said in Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, he said that the jiva is like small ornaments, like gold ornaments for the ears, nose, you know, bangles and gold and all that. And Krishna is like a mountain of gold. Huh? So we are also like gold, he is also gold, but the difference is we are small quantity gold and he is big quantity gold. But the quality of this gold and the mountain gold is same. This is called Achintya Bheda Bheda. You can take a mountain of gold, take some portions and make small ornaments. And those are like jivas. Like that he gave example. Okay. Now we go back to the question. Yeah. Next. Yeah. I'll quickly finish. By Setu Bandha, does Mahaprabhu refer to Rameshwaram? Yes, correct. He refers to Rameshwaram. Ajayagupta is asking, just want to know, waxing face of moon is called Shukla Paksha. I have quoted the shloka number, 8.26. The word Shukla means white. Krishna means darkness, also called Krishna. Therefore, the Shukla and Krishna are used in Bhagavad Gita in 8.26. You can refer to that verse. So let me complete the question and answer. And actually, Chaitanya Charitamrita, 7th chapter is going on. And my request to all of you, whenever you ask questions every time, I appreciate your questions. At the same time, it will be nice to ask questions from the subject also. In case your question is not a part of Chaitanya Charitamrita directly, you can also send the question to voicemedia.pune@gmail.com. You can send. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki.